Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 42 for April 19th, 2008. Rookie Moms. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/monkeys. And now, visit Audible's new kids site, audiblekids.com. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, episode 42, which is the answer to the question about life, the universe, and everything.
42.
42? Mm-hmm. You know that because you are an honorary geek.
I am an honorary geek. How was your spring break?
How was spring break? You were the one who came up with that.
Yeah.
And I got a number of people emailing me saying, thank you for spring break.
They caught up?
They caught up.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
We hope you're caught up.
Yeah.
But if you're not, too bad, because here come more podcasts.
Here they come, ready or not.
Stand back.
Today we are going to talk to the Rookie Moms, Heather and Whitney. They have a site, rookiemoms.com, really popular blog that has activities for you and your baby for your first year. And they just came out with a book, 250 activities. The book is called The Rookie Mom's Handbook, 250 activities to do with and without your baby.
It's a neat, it's one of those kind of almost like a gift book.
Yeah, perfect shower gift.
Yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I just pick one at random? Give me a number.
Yeah, pick 42.
40. Oh, well, that's a good one to start with. Tip 42, curl up and die. Okay, well, we can move on. No, that was D-Y-E. If you're dragging your sorry new mama butt around looking as haggard as you feel, we think it's time to clean up your act. Here are some pick-me-up suggestions that will give you a few moments of pampering, followed by a month or so of compliments.
Ooh.
Get a nice haircut.
Oh.
Clean up your brows.
Mm.
I'm doing that tomorrow.
You are.
I'm very metrosexual. Tint your lash. I have to clean up my brows. Tint, if I didn't, it's not merely my brows. It's your nose hair.
It's not my nose hair.
Gentlemen, every once in a while I run up against a fella, probably unmarried, because his wife would have told him, that's got a little nest growing out of his nose or his ears.
Isn't that what nose hair clippers are for?
They don't do a good job.
Okay.
And you know, the good thing about waxing, is it doesn't hurt as much as you might think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over quickly and it does a great job. And then
that's
you only
true.
Have to go in once a month.
Yeah.
and you can't get it with the clippers. I tried. You can't get it all. So you notice I have no unsightly hair.
No, you have no unsightly hair.
Or my ears.
Or your ears, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's because, and my eyebrows are oddly sculpted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, they're not because I do. So the eyebrow thing I wouldn't actually do, but she kind of, because she throws it in with
right.
the nose.
Yeah.
It's kinda
yeah.
All.
It looks nice. Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been sculpted lately. All right, let's
see, you understand the plight of the new mom, don't you, Leah?
I do. And here's one. Tint your lashes. I haven't ever thought of.
Oh, yeah.
Fair hair.
Then you don't
beauties.
Have to use mascara.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this because you are a fair-haired beauty. Putting a fake coat of mascara on your lashes will make you look awake in all the inevitable new baby photos. This is far more efficient than daily makeup application. It allows truly lazy among us look somewhat put together. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So they tint them darker.
Mm-hmm.
What a good idea.
I wish I'd done that. I just finally made the boys' baby book with Shutterfly, and some of those pictures, I look like I was
faded.
Run over by a truck.
You were.
Yeah.
Not literally.
No.
Might as well have been.
Yeah, I would rather have been.
Almost be better.
Given birth to 2 8-pound babies.
It'd almost be better to be run over by a truck.
That was an exaggeration. They were 7.5 pounds. And I love them. I just wish they had been a little smaller in there.
Anyway, this is a neat book. I can't wait to talk to Heather and Whitney.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
So are you ready to get to the spend, save, give?
Oh, yeah. We begin every show with 3 things. One to spend, one to save, and one to give.
Mm-hmm.
On the old Yiddish proverb, it is better to give, spend, and save than not to do anything at all.
Exactly. Yiddish proverb.
Yiddish.
All right, so spend. You know, you have less than a month to shop for Mother's Day. Even less if you're listening to this late.
Wasn't it just Mother's Day?
Last year, yes.
Didn't it?
It was perhaps just Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's always another day.
But my favorite shopping guide out there is the Cool Mom Picks, which we did. We talked to them at Valentine's Day. And now they have a Mother's Day shopping guide, which has really cool stuff. And the reason I like them is because they usually only include independently owned, often products made by moms or mom-run companies. Right. And yeah, they have a few different sections. So if you're buying for your wife who is a mom or for your actual mom, or they have a geek mom section. It's called For the Mom Whose Other Child Is Her Computer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they have some cool stuff, and they also have some coupon codes in there, so you can save money on all this. A little bit of a combined spend save.
This is pretty much what you'd expect, which is essentially that it's Mother's Day, and you're a mother. You better figure out, you know, you better do it yourself, basically.
Send this link, too.
This should really be on a dad's page, not
it
on a mom's
should.
Page.
I'm sure that there's a lot of daddy blogs that have Mother's Day gift guides.
Not.
They should.
Mostly it's like what to do when you forget to get
right.
the Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mm-hmm. the night of Mother's Day, Mother's Day night,
mm-hmm.
not Mother's Day Eve,
mm-hmm.
Mother's Day night, and you need some credible excuse for why you didn't have a gift in the morning,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
I'm big into the making gifts. Like, I think my kids, you know, at 5 and 3 are old enough to understand that they should
yes.
appreciate me by making me something.
Yeah, that's what Jennifer does. But she tells me, she says, make sure the kids make me a card.
Right.
Which is also futile. But anyway.
Start now.
I think I may be better.
So that's coolmompics.com.
I like that.
Mother's Day 08.
Yay.
All right, now we're on to the save. How are you feeling about Hulu?
You know, I mean, I like Hulu. Mm-hmm. Hulu is the NBC-Fox joint venture that was kind of replacing their presence on YouTube. So you can actually watch whole shows.
Yeah. They have advertising on them.
But not much.
Yeah, but it's free. Like, you just sign up. You don't have to pay anything.
Quality's good.
The quality is good.
The negative? You're sitting in front of your computer.
I don't necessarily see that as a negative because we have the giant TV downstairs, and sometimes I like to watch stuff on my laptop when I'm lying in bed.
Oh, that's a good point. So it's like a personal TV.
Right. But I think the negative is the advertising. But, you know, they've got to make some money some way.
It's not that much. Do you find it's too much?
It's not. And if you're on your computer, then it's really easy to just like go over, open another window and check your mail or something.
Right.
You know, you can really, it's much easier, I think.
I Twitter when I'm, instead of commercials, I just Twitter.
I check my email.
Yeah.
And so I like it. I like, because you don't have to wait for the DVD. Yeah, I've been watching The Office, and I've been watching 30
Rock.
How
quickly did they get stuff? For instance,
pretty fast.
Last week, the new Office dinner party went up, and it's already up on there.
Yeah.
So was it up like day of? No.
I don't know how quick they do, but way quicker than Netflix.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption by McDonald's Dollar Menu.
I like his voice.
It is nice.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. We're violating copyright. Stop.
Yeah,
stop.
Stop.
I can't stop it.
Stop.
I can't stop it. It won't stop. Stop.
They close the window? But so I was thinking of this.
Sorry, I was watching Hulu during the show.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are doing this at work. But I thought it was an interesting idea for kids because they have much better kids videos than Netflix.
Oh, really?
Browse Instantly does. And so we tried to watch the VeggieTales. You know, we talked about the VeggieTales, and I got so many people emailing me telling me I really should try them out. So
is
they
it
have
on Hulu?
It. Yeah. Yeah, the movie. So one of the movies. So I tried it. And then we were sitting there, and then, you know, the commercial comes on 15 minutes in, and it wasn't really a kid-appropriate commercial. It wasn't inappropriate, but it was like Beyonce dancing, and it was for like HD something or other. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't like a toy or like some junk food, but I'm sticking to the Netflix Browse Instantly or getting, you know, our own DVDs because it's just, I know my kids are going to be exposed to advertising, but the reason we don't have television
is
to keep it. And so it's good for me because I can multitask, but until my kids are multitasking and checking their email during the commercials, I'm not going to be introducing them to the Hulu.
Good point. Very good point.
So, but you can save. It is free.
You certainly can save.
Mm-hmm. All
right.
And
now, let's give.
Have you heard of Action Without Borders?
No.
It's idealist.org.
Now, I've heard of Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah, this is different. This is a website that gives opportunities, career opportunities or volunteer opportunities for nonprofits.
Oh, neat.
So I found out about it. There was an article in the New York Times about whether you're the right person to switch your career from the profit to the nonprofit sector. I don't think I am.
If you don't need to make any more money,
right?
You could switch your career.
If you don't plan on... No, I mean, there's lots of nonprofit jobs where you can make
money.
No,
they're real jobs. You get paid.
But, I mean, I think... You know, I volunteer now, and I think that suits me a little better.
Yeah.
And now I can continue to work for my giant corporation.
Wait a minute. You're working for a nonprofit.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
There's no profit.
That's true. So I thought this was an interesting site because I think becoming a parent sort of makes, I don't know, for me, and I've talked to other people, it makes you care more about giving back. It just makes you feel more part of the world, I think.
Yeah.
And so I've certainly talked to a few people who've emailed me about this kind of subject of switching to a nonprofit.
Look, they have all these different countries too. I mean,
yeah. So it's a cool place to look for job opportunities. It's a little community or volunteer opportunity. So it's idealist.org.
Action Without Borders.
Yes. So,
we should talk to the rookie moms.
Are they there?
No. But we should talk to them. Tell you what, let's do our Audible pick, and then by then the rookie moms will be here.
Yeah, that's the deal with rookie moms. Always late.
Rookie interviews. They probably had to breastfeed or something.
Yeah. So, Audible.
I just like saying that.
Was our phone on?
Well, it could have been on. It could have been off. It's on now.
That's the important thing. Maybe they'll call back.
Let's not be picky about on or
let's
off.
Not criticize them for being late when we didn't
we
have the phone
to turn
turned
phone on.
On.
It's on now.
All right. Let's talk about our sponsor, Audible.
They're so great. If you listen to podcasts, you really should know about audiobooks. It's a great way to listen through some of the best books in the world. In fact, Audible is such a great resource. It's a library, 45,000 plus titles. They're the rookie moms, and we'll get them on in just a second. I hear them now. But we like to give you a chance to get a free book by going to audible.com/monkeys and signing up. If you're not an Audible subscriber yet, you'll get a credit towards a free book of your choice. And I think you've picked a really good one this week.
Yeah, my book pick this week is Pippi Longstocking by Astrid Lindgren. Read by Esther Benson.
I love
this
Pippi
book, especially because there's so many boy superheroes, and Pippi is a superhero. She's really strong and tough, and she survives. Lives by herself.
She lives by herself, and I think kids like that.
Yeah. She doesn't have any parents. She doesn't need them. She has a monkey, which of course makes me love her even more.
Does the monkey jump?
He does. I suddenly forgot what the monkey's name was. Mr. Benson. Mr.
Now
something.
This is interesting because I clicked on this link.
Uh huh.
And I'm in a new place, Audible Kids.
You are in Audible Kids. This is their new site. We talked about last time, in our last episode, we talked about how we had this huge announcement to make. And my dad was like, everybody who ever was a subscriber to Audible knows that you're talking about Audible Kids because we all
kidding.
Got an email about it.
Oh,
yeah, we were a little late on our announcement.
It's a huge announcement, which you've already seen.
They have a great new site. It's audiblekids.com.
It.
And it's fantastic. And they have new books and it's much more, easy to find what you...
Well, it's got. I like the look and the layout and the feel.
And it's organized by age.
It seems
and
like
topic
kids could use this.
I think that's the idea. And you can put reviews on it. It's a great site. I find it even a little bit faster than the old Audible.
Well, because it's so simple,
mm-hmm.
It is faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could just use kids.audible.com instead of audible.com.
Right, or audiblekids.com.
Audiblekids.com. Mm-hmm. You log in with your same old Audible login, but now they have this. Categories, animal stories, biographies, classics, fables, all the different categories. You got language and study guides, sci-fi, mm-hmm. and then by age group. This is great. So I'm going to turn Henry onto this because he always needs books for book reports and stuff. I can just say, you know, go to the 8th grade or 7th grade one and you can, look at all these.
Yeah, they have a lot more. They had a lot, but they were hard to find in the old site. Now they're really easy
this
to find.
This is really great. Audiblekids.com, and you'll find Pippi Longstocking there by Astrid Lindgren, and what a great book that is. You want to hear a little bit of...
Yes, I do.
Shall we play some Pippi? Then we'll get to our guests mm-hmm. who are sitting here going, what the heck's going on? Do they have the, oh yeah, there they do.
They have samples, yeah.
They do have the samples. Mm-hmm.
Right here. See her.
Mr. Nelson.
She walked straight ahead without looking back at all, with Mr. Nelson on her shoulder and her suitcase in her hand.
He's the monkey.
Mm-hmm. A remarkable child, said one of the sailors, as Pippi disappeared in the distance.
I don't want to do the show. I want to listen to the rest of this. I love Pippi Longstocking. She was the first geek.
She was.
Don't you think she's kind of a little nerdy?
She does
magic.
She didn't go to school.
She's not exactly magical, but she does magic.
She doesn't really know how to count.
Yeah, that wouldn't
so
be good for
I don't
geek.
Know that she's geeky, but she's tough.
She's so cute. I love her.
Cute.
Cute. If you want Pippi Longstocking or any Audible book for free, if you're a new member, just go to audible.com/monkeys. And don't forget the new audiblekids.com for the parent in us all. But no, that would be actually for the kid in us all.
All right. Now we're going to talk to Whitney Moss and Heather Gibbs Flett from Berkeley. They started the website Rookie Moms back in 2005 after they learned that being a parent of a newborn can be boring. Hate to tell you, all you pregnant women out there, but
you know, they don't tell you that part.
No, they don't tell you that part, but their book, which they just published, The Rookie Mom's Handbook, 250 activities to do with and without your baby, can make your parenting life less boring.
So here they are, Heather and Whitney, from their home in Berkeley. No, they have two homes. But they're in the same home right now.
So Whitney and I actually ran into each other in the park. I told you, Leo. She recognized me from my Flickr
kidding.
Photos.
Isn't that cute?
Yes. Well, we talked about Rookie Moms. I think on our first episode, I recommended it as one of my favorite sites.
And when I saw the traffic, I went to Megan's site and I noticed that she had a son named. Am I allowed to say your son's name?
Oh, yeah.
That she had a son named Milo, and Heather also has a son
You're
named
You're kidding.
Milo. So when I saw her calling after Milo at the playground, I thought, how many of these Milo people are there?
Yeah, actually, I think you were pretty upset, Megan, as I remember, because you thought you had the only Milo in the world.
I did, yeah.
So I accosted Megan and said, I recognize you, but I'm not stalking you.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect kind of recognition.
So what gave you guys the ideas to start the site, Rookie Moms?
So this is Heather, and Whitney had her baby about 6 months before me. And although I thought I was obsessively watching her and figuring out everything she was doing, she still somehow managed to make it look easy. And when I had my baby, she was not surprised that I was struggling, and she offered me some suggestions and tips of fun outings that she enjoyed when her baby was small. And then together we put our heads together for fun activities that would keep us busy and out of trouble. And like you said, from getting too bored. So our site was born that way. It actually started out with Whitney's idea of listing out all of the prenatal yoga classes in Berkeley and mom and baby movies so that at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, we could figure out what's the best thing to be doing. And it grew from there.
I like that idea. I mean, it's funny. You would think that you wouldn't, that, you know, this would be like a handbook for how to change diapers, but I like the idea because it really, to be honest with you, the learning curve on diaper changing, not that steep.
No.
You get it in like, you know, one try.
Right.
But it is challenging.
Yeah. I mean,
to do.
And when you look at the book, it's some of the things might seem kind of obvious, but they're not at all. I mean, there was
not when your brain is fried.
Right.
Right. 3 a.m. feedings.
You talk about going to the grocery store and like put your, you know, there's two ways to carry your kid in a front pack or with their car seat carrier in the cart. And I, at first I was like, oh, well, that's so obvious. And then I remembered back, like, I did not know that.
So
I remember seeing another woman in the grocery store being like, what? How did you do that?
So it actually fits in the cart. You can just put it right in the cart.
Yeah. So you didn't know it either, Leo. And your kids are teenagers. What did you do?
They don't think they'd fit in the cart now. their legs would stick out over the edge.
So you guys on the site, you describe yourself as geek. It's two geeky girls guide to the first year. What makes it geeky?
I think the whole notion that, hey, let's make a list of all the activities. And we started doing it in Excel, and then we decided to be on a website. Just the whole spirit of that is a little bit geeky in its nature. But we also both did the tracking of, you know, baby feeding and how, you know, every action you were doing with them. I did it to a lesser extent. Heather actually has this notebook of, like, so many data points you would not believe it about her two kids. So I think it's, you know, part of just being a professional person these days, and then all of a sudden having this domestic responsibility, it's impossible to not bring your already developed skill set to your new endeavor and make it geeky.
Number 146, be a selfish June Cleaver. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
You, when you bake something, bake two of them.
Right, yeah.
And then you bring one to, you know, the friends, the neighbors, the mother's group, and you get to keep one for yourself.
That's smart. That's about the only time I actually cook or bake, when I'm bringing food to someone else.
Right, so make double the batch. Number 128, fondle the veggies at a farmer's market. Oh, I didn't realize it was that kind of thing. Wow.
Why should you fondle the veggies at the farmer's market?
I don't know. Why?
Why do you fondle the veggies at a farmer's market?
So that you know which one to buy.
Okay, got it.
I was going to say because they're there, but your answer is correct.
Knit with your baby. I like that. Oh, this is just great.
Are you an avid knitter?
No, but my daughter is. My 16-year-old loves to knit, and my mom taught her. It was really cute. And I've knitted. I used to knit, but I didn't knit with the baby because of the needles.
Mm. Right. It kind of depends on the age of the baby. And, yeah. And probably most babies are too young to learn how to knit. But some of them can sit quietly or sleep at your feet while you're doing it.
Yeah. I played basketball with the baby. You know, you put them in one of those snugglies, and you can move around pretty good.
One of the activities is actually use your baby as a paperweight. I really liked that one.
That's a pre-crawling activity.
Right.
Now my baby eats the paper.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are so great.
So how many activities do you have on the site now?
We have well over 500 on the site, but they're not all, you know, something for you to do all day long activities. Some of them are more tips and...
Yeah, I'm confused because I'm at the site and it's... The most recent one is activity 101 and then activity 542. So they're not in any order.
Well, you're going to force us to open our little secret out into the world, which is that we believe that the ideas on our site are pretty evergreen. And so sometimes we bring them up again.
Recycle.
Especially since we're both on our second child and we're kind of reliving our rookie year.
Oh, that's true.
All
that's
over
fun.
Again.
Yeah.
So when we get the idea to, you know, bring the little baby to the farmer's market to pick out her first sweet potato, then we think, oh yeah, where was that one? And we put it on the homepage again.
So that explains it, because there's a picture in the book of the two of you pregnant, and I thought, boy, they had a lot of forethought. They really thought ahead. They had this pregnant picture taken so they could write a book about having a baby. But this is your second child that you're both pregnant with.
Yeah, actually, if you are on our site and you click to About Us, you can see the forethought we had with our first pregnancies, which is, I knew I was secretly pregnant when Whitney was very, very pregnant. And then she was somehow very slim when I was very pregnant. So we took those pictures and had a lot
funny.
Of fun with it. And
oh, yeah, there it is. Look at it. That's so cute.
Yeah, the wardrobe choices shows how geeky we are.
They're matching.
They're matching.
And pink
then
and
the second time around, we our pregnancies were even closer together. They're 4 months apart. So we took that picture on almost my very most pregnant day. I had my second son the next night.
Yeah, you look big.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm much smaller now.
I can tell. I'm looking at the before picture. Oh, that's really, I think that's sweet, though, the two of you in the back pregnant like that. That's a great picture.
So is there a way on the site for people to find activities that are more appropriate for like a 1 or 2 month old versus like a 9 or 10 month old?
Yeah, we have on our left side navigation, we have all of our activities broken up by age of the baby. So there's the month categories. And only recently did we admit we are out of our rookie year and we have toddlers and preschoolers. So we just started adding activities for older kids with the idea that still should be stuff that's fun for mom.
Right.
So one of the things on our homepage right now is to play hopscotch indoors.
I love that.
And why I love that is because I can sit down and read a magazine and say, hey, do that again.
And again.
So, yeah.
And again.
And so we try to always focus on activities that are fun for mom.
That's a great idea.
So how do you play hopscotch indoors?
Well, my son is not yet three, and so he does not have the skills to do regular hopscotch. So frankly, I don't even know the real rules, but you put boxes on the carpet and tell them where to jump with tape. Yeah. Big roll of electrical tape and then order them around. So that's how we play in my house.
Jump to seven now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go to three.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go through stages when you were doing this? Because, I mean, you're busy. You've got two kids each. And were kind of slowed down, or have you really been kind of pretty consistent in putting up content?
I think we've been pretty consistent because as the site has grown, we've kind of made online friends who point us to different activities, or we see them on our site. And sometimes people write about something from their own perspective, which is like, hey, this is what I made for dinner, and my son sat next to me and, you know, crushed up lettuce and mixed it with water and added salt and pepper, and, you know, we threw it away at the end, and we think, that's a great idea, and we'll put it on the site. So we kind of always have our eyes open just for collecting ideas of things that are fun for mom when she's caring for her little tiny people.
It feeds itself.
So what other online resources do you guys look at to read?
Well, we have one favorite in common, which is Parent Hacks, so I don't need to go down that road.
Yeah.
But other, like, cool online geeky tools, we actually use in my family Google Documents for a lot of our
really
back and forth.
Well, you are geeky.
Thank you so much. That's such a compliment coming from you. My husband will be so impressed.
I'm impressed.
We have our family contact list there, so if, you know, Uncle Chad changes his address, I can update
idea.
It, and when Aunt Heather moves, then my husband can update it. So we do that for Christmas lists and family contact lists and stuff like that.
Wouldn't work in our family because Jennifer has kind of a random alphabetization system. You know, sometimes it would be like under B for babysitter. Sometimes it'd be under H for Heather.
Mm.
Sometimes it'd be under, you know, some random last name.
So is she in charge of that in your house?
Yeah, she is, because Google Docs couldn't handle it.
Plus, she doesn't like to use the internet, so that would also be difficult.
That would be another problem.
I know. We also use Yahoo groups for our own
mom's
groups and stuff. So
this
is just like personal groups of friends we use.
Isn't that great?
To keep connected.
I'm jealous.
You don't have any?
I don't have any friends.
Oh.
But if I did, I'd probably use Yahoo groups.
Uh-huh. So are you guys working on another book?
No, we're really just focused on this one because it just made it to stores about a week or two ago.
Mm.
So we're going to see where this goes first and what kind of response we get. We don't have the next thing planned out.
So one of the tips when you're still pregnant is to email your baby.
Well, that's a good idea.
Have you been doing that?
I have for my son, and I keep intending, this is the curse of
the second
child.
Second child never gets one.
I have every day when she does something, I think, I wish I was emailing this little story to her.
That's okay, because when they go into therapy, they could say, Mom emailed her more than me.
Yes.
So do you have an email address for your son?
I do. My husband set it up as soon as he was born, and
that's
we just thought it was kind
idea.
Of funny, and we used it.
So the mail stayed there.
People to his first birthday. Yeah, for with Gmail, you know, it's
that's really
forever.
Cool. So
that
he could go back
idea.
And look when he's 18 at all the events and the birthdays and the emails. Oh, I love that.
I'm
going
to totally do that.
Exactly.
That is a really good idea.
They're 16 and 13 now for me. I think it's too late to do anything, any of these good
right.
ideas. But when I have grandchildren, I'm ready.
Well, you could probably forge the header so it looks like you sent it back in.
Honey, I've been sending email to you since you were born. There was
when there was no email.
There was no email, but I did it anyway.
But for kids, for parents of younger kids, that's a good idea
great
too,
idea.
Because then you can also save their
everything.
Gmail, like you can, you know,
get
reserve
their name.
Their name in Gmail.
That's, I think that was my husband's intention.
Yeah. So they have their name. Do they have websites too?
No, we use our family name for the website. And I realized that it's better not to use the kid's name because when your family grows, which you're not thinking about when the first kid, all of a sudden you have three domains or domains or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I should have gotten Laporte.com and then I could have Abby at Laporte.com
right.
and Henry at Laporte.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do that with Leoville. There, she's at, I shouldn't say their address. She's not Abby at Leoville.com. Don't send email there. Please. Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Oh, so if you guys could give moms or dads one piece of advice, what would it be?
Our biggest piece of advice, especially the first year and especially when it seems the hardest, is to get out of the house.
Yes.
To do what you need to do and make that your mission.
Yes.
And if the 250 ideas we have for you don't appeal to you, make a list of the things you like to do before you were a parent, or what are your favorite things, and then see how you can incorporate having a baby into that.
Oh, that's good advice.
And if you can't, email us and we'll tell you how you can.
Let your baby use the phone, number 225.
Excellent.
That's a good idea.
So this is Whitney and Heather of RookieMoms.com, and their new book is available at Amazon and other bookstores, and it's the Rookie Moms Handbook, 250 activities to do with and without your baby.
Perfect baby shower
gift.
Yeah,
it's a little tiny square.
Made for a baby shower.
It fits in a little gift basket.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. So long. I love these. These are, some of them are like not intuitive, like give your baby the phone, but then they explain, you know, what they mean.
Yeah, I think that's the key, that most of them aren't intuitive, especially if you're only having, you know, 2 hours of sleep a night.
Here's a
or
fun
less.
One. Meow, bark, and tweet at the pet store. So you go with your one-year-old to one of those super, you know, mm-hmm. pets stores, and you go and visit. As long as it's one, because if they get to like five, they're going to want to take every pet home.
Yeah. And yeah, I think this is a great gift because, you know, you can, to parents of, you know, pregnant moms, you can send them a million websites and that kind could overwhelm them. But if you just gave them this book, they wouldn't have to be online.
It's all there.
They could just flip through it while they're, you know, doing other stuff.
I really like that. And I wish I had thought of that, emailing your baby.
I know. I'm going to totally do that.
That's a better way than doing a baby book or even a journal because it's kind of permanent.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some letters that I wrote to Annabella, and they're just sitting in a drawer. I know where they are, but it's going to be a long time before she can read them.
And then she could access these anytime. Yeah. And I bet you she might even add to it throughout her life.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. If I had, I might have a baby just to do that, because I really think that I missed out. That would have been a really good thing to do.
All righty. So should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on and do
to
some
the video
feedback.
Of the week.
Oh, we got a video this week?
Oh, wait. No, yeah. No, we don't have a video. Next week, we have a video.
We have
this
a picture.
This week, we don't have.
That's a cute picture.
Oh, yeah. We do have a picture.
Baby in a onesie using a Lenovo laptop.
Yes. This is a letter from Dave from LA, which I'll read it. And he said I could put his cute little baby picture on our website. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Good.
He says, I want to thank you for introducing my daughter and I to Tux Paint. We had a spare working Mac and Tux Paint. What? I think I lost a page.
Oh, wait, I can read the rest.
Okay.
I have it here on the, do you have it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My daughter uses Tux Paint on the PC, too. She does not seem confused about a single click for the Mac and a double click on the PC.
Wow. That's a smart kid.
I know. She also seems to know. And she's two. And she also seems to know that on Windows, you have a start button. On the Mac, you have an Apple key. She has her own profile, so I let her explore things on her own. And I simply go back and close all the applications once she's done or is stuck on something. I thought my daughter would benefit being bilingual and bi-culture, but now I'm wondering if she will also benefit from being bi-kernel.
Okay, that's the geekiest joke we've ever had on any exactly. Twitch show.
So check out our show notes to see a picture of Dave's daughter using Tux Paint. I think the laptop's like as big as she is.
Yeah. So cute. She's got in their lap though, which is great. I think it's adorable.
So we have once again not listened to our voicemails before.
That's the fun thing.
Yeah, so
in fact, get used to it, because that's going to be the new format for Twit Live.
Yeah.
Nothing is planned. Nothing we know anything. It's just going to happen.
Awesome. So I shouldn't prepare at all for the show?
Stop doing all this work
just
preparing.
Come in and
just blah.
Let's look at the internet today.
Let's play a call. Here we go.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Amy in Heartland, Michigan. I am so happy to have found all of Twit's podcasts. I miss Tech TV so much.
Aww.
You have no idea.
Aww.
And now that I have a 3-year-old, I can't believe there's even a tech show for parents. Yay. Jumping Monkeys is awesome. I remember a while ago, oh, probably 5-10 years ago, I read something about media time and how Leo clumped TV, computer,
screens,
video games, everything together and calls it media time. And he monitors how much media time his kids have. And I don't know if you guys have done a show on Jumping Monkeys about that yet, but if you haven't, I just thought that was awesome. Even before I had kids, I thought that's the way to go. Even though my Warcraft Xbox 360 crazed husband doesn't like the idea of controlling anything because he thinks he is the master security engineer he is today because of all his geek time as a kid.
He's got a point, and then it's funny, I hear the guys say that a lot, like Dvorak. Oh, let them do anything they want. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I completely agree.
I think it'd be nice to see a kid read a book and get outside and play once in a while. So anyway, great work, you guys. I'm going to be listening forever because I miss Tech TV, and looking forward to future shows. Bye.
Thank you. And you can start watching. We'll be doing, if not next week, the week after, we'll start be doing this. You're going to have to, you know, put clothes on.
Yeah.
We'll be doing this in front of the camera downstairs. We've got lights coming and everything. So that's one kind of screen time I encourage.
Yeah.
Watch. We'll be doing, I figured it out, like 25 hours a week, 100 hours a month of programming.
Wow.
It's like a network. And then all I have to figure out is how I can just rerun that stuff. And it really literally will be a channel.
Mm-hmm.
A one-man channel, which is a little strange.
Well, you'll get some help.
I expect some help. You know, it's funny talking about this screen time. We had a little bit of this going on last night. Henry, when he gets home, goes right on the computer, stays on the computer as long as he can, forgoes bathing, forgoes eating. And at first I was a little nervous, but, you know, because we have it in the public area, and boy, is he lobbying to get it in his bedroom. But I can see what he's doing. And it's one thing and one thing only. He's on MySpace and he's chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night it was 9 o'clock and Jennifer was saying, gotta get off the computer. I pulled her aside. I said, you know what? I realized when we were teenagers, how long did you spend on the phone every evening?
Yeah. Hours.
Talking to your friends.
Yeah.
Hours.
Right.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Would we be saying, get off the phone? Well, we would if he were tying it up. But if other than that, would we be saying, get off the phone? No, we'd be much more tolerant. So, and she got it. She said, oh, you're right. So, you know, Henry and I have a contract now. We finally had to really kind of have a contract. Mm-hmm. And in the contract, it says you're off the computer at 9:30. So I said to Henry, okay, it's 9. Remember our contract, 9:30. He said, fine. He got off at 9:30. And I think it was important that we realize that their life is different, and what was the phone for us is now I am online somehow.
Yeah, I still had limits on how much I could talk on the phone, but I always thought that was because my parents wanted to use the phone.
Well, some of it is. We bought the line back. And you don't want them sitting on the phone all day.
Right.
But once she understood that it's not just kind of idle messing around, he's not surfing porn sites, he's not doing what I do, which is kind of clicking around. He's actually chatting with his friends. Then she said, oh, I get it. It's more of a social thing.
Right.
So you know, we're a little different as they get older with the screen time thing.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because TV doesn't have that, you know, kind of.
It's interactive.
Yeah.
He's not passively watching stuff. They share music back and forth, and he'll listen to a song. They'll talk about songs. They're really interacting. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And he's talking to friends from school?
Right.
Or
from school.
Yeah.
The other thing I know that will happen is he'll get sick of this and he'll stop.
Right.
Abby did too. Abby went through the same thing. It was about a year. She was chatting all the time. She stopped.
Right.
She grew up. But I think if you really make it a negative, you say, you may not do this. It's a forbidden fruit. They may do it longer than you want them
That's
to.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, that was a great call.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah. I have an email now from Deb in San Francisco. She says this overlaps a bit with the whole homework subject and Corbett's comments about math DVDs. We talked about that in a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. My husband is a science, medicine, tech guy, and he gets a little frustrated over the homework situation at my son's public elementary school. The children have math and reading, spelling, writing homework each week, and in addition need to keep a reading log with their number of pages they've read or have had read to them each day. But where's the 20 minutes of math play and practice per day? My husband thinks there's a sort of institutional bias against reinforcing math skills that makes kids think math is hard and not fun. So all that being said, we installed Tux Math on the computer. The kids use it in our house. It has look and sound effects of a laser blasting space game.
Mate.
But the kids do the blasting by solving math equations at their level. It's pretty fun for my second grader and is a fun way for him to drill in math skills. They say the program is aimed for 4 to 10-year-olds.
That's a great suggestion.
Have you heard of that? It's
no.
sourceforge.net/tuxmath. So yeah,
that's a great tip. You know, I wish I'd done that, because that's the hardest thing about math, and you'll find this with your kids, is the learning the times tables and the plus tables are really painful,
mm-hmm.
because it's just drill.
Yeah.
So anything that makes that drill fun,
right?
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Another program I wish I'd had then. You know, I noticed they don't have for older kids the same kind of fun software.
Yeah.
Be nice, you know, quadratic equation mm-hmm. drills.
Yeah. Next week we're going to talk about teenagers, Leo. So don't worry. It's not all about
I'm
kids.
Not worried. Believe me. We talk about teenagers a lot. We did her school, where your husband teaches, has an event called Get Real Night. Do you know about that?
No, I don't.
It was really good. So the kids, it's not for the freshmen, just for the sophomores, juniors, and seniors as a high school. The kids write monologues, not necessarily about their own experience, but about the things that their peers would want to tell their parents.
Oh.
Some serious stuff, like bulimia. Some silly stuff, some how they, you know, the typical teenage don't ask me how school was stuff, why I smoke pot so much stuff. And they did these monologues in front of the parents, which is heavy, very heavy.
So they were reading their own?
Well, they say at the beginning, these words are the kinds of words spoken by your sons and daughters, but not necessarily the same words by the person who's speaking them.
Oh, okay.
So they can speak more freely.
Right.
It's not their issue.
Yeah.
And then we broke up into groups, not with our own kids, but with their peers. And so, you know, if my daughter was in a different group from me, and talked about what communicating between parents and kids. And it was really a great opportunity to hear from the kids' point of view what, you know, these issues. And, you know, they talked about things like, well, when we ask you about your drug use or sex use in high school, why aren't you ever honest with us? Or, I mean, there was a lot to talk about. It was a great event.
That is really good, because it's like what we talked about aunts before. And, you know, like it's easier to talk to someone who's not your parent.
And I learned, you know, kind of how kids feel about this stuff. And then afterwards on the way home, Abby and I talked a long time about, you know, it opened the door for us to have this great conversation.
Yeah,
so it was
great.
A really nice event.
Teenagers.
We'll talk more about
next
them.
Next week, we'll talk about teenagers. Do we want to play another?
I have many more calls.
Let's play another one.
Let's just take a chance. This is from Wellsville, Missouri.
Hi, Leo and Megan. This is Jen. I've recently found your podcast through iTunes. Recently just found all podcasts through iTunes. I didn't know what a wide variety of listening opportunities I had on iTunes. I was just listening to music, and I just recently found podcasts, and
yay.
I've been addicted. I've been listening to quite a few, but yours have been my favorite by far.
Yay.
You guys keep me entertained. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and you keep me entertained during all my boring chores throughout the day. I really just wanted to call and tell you guys that I like you a lot, and you guys are doing a great job. You guys are funny and entertaining, and I've got a lot of interesting facts from you guys and a lot of websites and books to check out, and that's pretty much it. Just wanted to call and sing my praise for you guys. That's all. Keep on doing what you're doing, because I love your podcast.
Can I take
Thanks.
A moment just
Bye.
To kind of tear up a little bit here?
That's so sweet.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, if you'd like to make more calls like that, the phone number... Not toll-free, but it shouldn't cost too much. Nowadays, everybody has kind of long-distance plans that include a call to 707-981-4602. It's our Grand Central number, and so no one will answer. It's an answering machine, basically. 707-981-4602. But I love being able to play these back.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from people.
Yeah, it really is great. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm glad you discovered podcasts.
Yeah,
they're hard
you know,
to discover because it's
hard.
Like that, you know, we always talk about this. It's like they're in the iTunes store and, you know, it's...
Makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I know that what we do isn't mass appeal. I'm not thinking that, you know, we'd have an audience of 10 million, but I also know there's a lot of people who would like what we do and don't know about
right.
it. And it drives me crazy. I just don't know. And I do everything I can, you know, I go on other people's shows and talk about podcasts and stuff because I really think that this is a resource that a lot of people would really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Not our shows particularly, but just podcasts in general.
Yeah.
And we try to do shows that we think people would like.
Right.
So thank you.
All right, I have another email from Robin in Ohio. She says, I am the mom of a two-year-old, so not really familiar with school politics or regulations.
Oh, you will be.
This is actually, I should say, in reference to when we talked about the teacher putting up those kids on YouTube.
Yeah.
So she says, my mom, however, has an adopted daughter with both learning and mental disabilities who was recently featured in an article about an art program for special needs kids in our local paper. The article featured her picture, name, age, and the school she attended. My mom had no idea this was going to be in the paper, and they said that she signed something at the beginning of the school year, which would allow such a thing without her permission. I thought this was odd, and I think the teacher posting the video on YouTube is odd. Parents, at the very least, should be notified that such an event is going to occur so that they have the opportunity to opt out if they choose, regardless of signing an image release form at the beginning of the year. There's a big difference between having your kid in a group picture from field day to be hung in the school hallway and their image and personal information being distributed via the internet or a citywide newspaper.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And we do, you know, every year at the beginning of the year, it's a pretty broad agreement to allow, you know, we sign that thing that says, yes, you may videotape, you may shoot our kids. So the school's let off the hook. And so, but the school does have a responsibility to protect the kids' privacy.
Yeah, it is interesting.
That's inappropriate. And I think educators who are listening should really address that.
Right.
That should be a change. That policy should change.
Yeah. So let's play one more voicemail.
Really?
Yeah, one more.
We were having such good luck.
Yeah.
This will be the bad one. We pushed it just a little too far here. This is the one where we're going to be sorry.
Hi, monkeys. This is Keith from Seattle, Washington. And I was just listening to your archivist, Allison, interview. And I want to tell you a little bit about a situation that's going on with me right now. And I thought I was doing everything right. I bought a three hard disk RAID array USB and thought I was putting all of my pictures and that they would be good for quite a long time. And it's in RAID 5, so if any drive died, then I could just pop in a new one and it would rebuild. And what happened was I tried to upgrade to Vista and realized that there was no Vista software for this device. So then I went back to XP and looked for the kind of driver system that allows the computer to read the RAID array and noticed that the company who made the array was sold to some other company and the software was no longer available for download. So now I have a RAID array full of pictures and movies and of my kids and my trip to the Galapagos and all this great stuff, and I have no way of attaching it to my computer and getting that stuff back out. So you can think you're doing everything right, and you just got to be really careful and have backup after backup and archive after archive so that no matter what happens, you can keep those memories. So thanks for the great show, and take care.
Thanks, Keith. And that's a terrible story, but don't throw anything out, because at some point it will be possible. I guarantee you to get that stuff off of there. And if you can get a tech guy or somebody who's a wizard to come over, I'm sure they can get that stuff. But it does underscore something really, really important. Anytime you need software to access data, that's a red flag. You should really think twice about that. A true RAID 5 array should just be visible. You shouldn't need any special software drivers. It should just be visible. And when you copy files over to it, don't use a program that bundles it up in a big ball, because it's in, you know, then you don't know what's in that ball, and if you lose that program, you won't be able to access it. Most backup programs, that's how they work. I don't recommend them. I think the best thing to do is just copy those files over. And if you want to make sure that your hard drive and your backup is in sync, use Microsoft Sync Toy or a similar program. Those are free that will synchronize the two folders so that you make sure everything's there. But if you can't just read it, if you can't just open that picture, read that file without special software, then that's a red flag. And Keith just underscored the problem. Then you change operating systems and all of a sudden the program's not made anymore. And all of a sudden you can't read your data. So it needs to be kind of in standard format. Wow, Keith, that's terrible. If you want to send me an email, Keith, to leo@leoville.com, maybe I can help you solve that problem. Don't erase that drive. Hang on to it, because you will be able to read it. Worst case, you go somewhere, somebody has got Vista or something.
Yeah, or just pay a lot of money for someone to do it.
Well, it's going to be doable.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
Oh, that's terrible. But good to know, and thank you for the call, and golly,
I think
we've had three great calls in a row.
Three great calls in a row. So
we've reached the end. But let me give you the number again, because, you know, we love those calls. 707-981-4602. 707-981-4602. You can email Megan at jumping.
Megan at twit.tv.
That's right. Every time I do that. Megan at twit.tv, because Jumping Monkeys gets too much spam.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also send us a file with audio.
Right. Yeah, we can play. And next week we're going to talk to someone about teenagers. We're going to talk to Vanessa Van Petten, who is, she's a 20-something, but she talks to parents about teens.
Great.
An expert. She's closer to teens than we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that, it's good to talk to young adults.
Right. Because
they kind of remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember
I've locked it all out.
I'm not sure it's age or consumption of bad substances, but for some reason, I can't remember a thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, all everyone. I think we're... We've got to wrap this up. I think we're done. Yeah.
Nothing to say about booty goo at this point?
I don't think so. No.
Save it. I just wanted to say it.
Yeah, you did.
And we'll talk about booty goo in a later episode.
Yeah. In May.
In May.
Mm-hmm.
May is booty goo month.
Okay.
On Jumping Monkeys. And you'll find out more about that. But meanwhile, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.
Bye.